This is Cordell Patrick, Texas State alum, Texas State former basketball player, award-winning sportscaster. When I'm in town in San Marcos, I always listen to KTSW Radio.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Bobcat Radio, the wackiest show on Wednesdays, ready to come at you on KTSW 89.9. And this show, along with the rest of KTSW, is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. And if you want to find more info, go to bookstore.txstate.edu or call them at 245-2273. Riley Chestnut here hosting your Wednesday show along with Ashton Ferguson and Jordan White as we present you with some wonderful sports talk. Looking ahead at the show, we're going to talk some Texas State football as spring practice has started as of yesterday, and they're going to be going hard until April 14th when the Maroon and Gold game will be the sight and the story. But we've also got Texas State baseball to recap and look forward to, as associate head coach for the baseball team, Stephen Trout, is going to be giving us a call here in just 9 minutes. Anyway, guys, just start things off formally or informally. How was your spring break?
Oh, I loved it. I was in South Padre.
It was great. I had a lot of fun. It's nice to just get a week off, even if it's just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, I think everybody needs that break from school. But, you know, and I think it was good for the players, too. Well, maybe not so much the baseball players and softball players,
yeah.
But other sports, you know, they get a good break in there.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun. I basically just worked the whole time. I went to Stillwater for a little bit, so that was a lot of fun. So how long did you stay in South Padre?
I was there for a whole week. Pretty much it was just for a concert feature and Gucci Mane. So
cool.
All right, guys. Well, just to remind you, you're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos. And now diving into it, we're going to talk some Texas State football because, again, spring practice has started. And just to give you a quick scope of what's going on, there are 88 total guys, according to head coach Ever Withers, that will be participating in this spring practice, which is the most he's had in now year three of the Coach Withers era here at Texas State. No recruits, though. No recruits will be joining them until they graduate high school, unfortunately. But what's expected when they do join is they're going to not be competing for immediate starter roles. They're going to be looking to add depth, which is something that has been lacking for Coach Withers, and he's been slowly trying to build up in the time that he's been here. In fact, he feels pretty good about the fact that now he's got a lot of guys coming back, and this is what he said when it comes to the growth of this team.
I think the growth of our football team physically and mentally as far as football players is starting to show up. We're still, you know, obviously not quite there yet, but excited about where we're headed. You know, at least when you go in from the off season and you go into spring ball, you see the growth from that period.
So, yeah, a lot of growth to be going around here for Coach Withers and this Bobcat football team, as we got a few big guys coming back, but unfortunately the Bobcats will be going through the spring motions without some of their starters, just to name all the ones that he's been listed. Starting off with the freshman kicker, former freshman kicker, now sophomore kicker, Foster Hilborn. He injured himself in the offseason, had surgery just a couple days ago, so he's going to miss the entirety of spring, which is severely lacking in my mind because the special teams for Texas State is one of those underlying things they need to improve if they want to be a great team, as every great team has great special teams. It's one of those stats you don't pay attention to.
Field position matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so from the way it seems, after losing a guy like Marcus Ripley, who went off into the sunset along with some very key seniors, including Gabe Lloyd, Easy Onyama, some big hits to the defensive line and the backs, Jordan Mitty transfers to Kansas State. But just to name a few of the players that have been hurt and will either be limited or not playing at all, starting cornerback Jayshon Waddy, who played the last half of the season with a damaged shoulder that Coach Withers described as he was basically covering people with one arm. He had surgery after the season was over, and he's still recovering. He'll be limited this spring. Then you have Ishmael Davis, who again had that ACL tear in the UTSA game last year, and he will be out for the spring as he continues to recover. Then you have left tackle, who was only a freshman last year, Nick Foster. He's dealing with concussion-related symptoms, and for the time being, Coach Withers says he's planned to be out for the spring. Then you have some lesser-known names, but still going to be impactful. At the tight end position, you got Elijah Rogers, who apparently tore his ACL in the last game of the year versus Troy. He's expected to be back in July, though, as he is making good progress, so that's nice to hear. Especially after losing Gabe Trade, you got to wonder who's going to take over as a big hole in that position. Then, of course, you have wide receiver Mason Hayes, who's still recovering from that leg injury that ended his season early, and he can be seen during the spring, but only under strict circumstances. So, guys, there were some personnel changes, and what we're noticing here for Texas State is that the football team is starting to fill out their roster with guys that they don't expect to be complete starters. It's not like the last 2 years where the guys coming in, they expect to go out and play immediate minutes. And Coach Withers had something to say about that as well. Here we go.
What I'm looking for now is enough guys now that we don't have to bring in the class and expect the class to have to carry us through a season. And I think we're closer to that now than we've been since I've been here, where we can say these guys, we don't have to count on them to come in when they get here the first day of June to go play against Appalachian State.
Sorry about the wind there. It was a pretty windy day yesterday up on Tuesday, but that makes me feel good because now you see Coach Withers is starting to get depth on this team, which is always a key if you want to be a great football team. You got to have guys that can play after them, and then guys that can fill out after them as well. But I guess what we're just looking forward to is the coaching changes. Zach Coor, Parker Fleming left after last year. He's now the quality control assistant back at Ohio State, so Zach Coor for now is the only offensive coordinator, as well as still being the running backs coach, which I think is going to open up the offense because we've heard Coach Withers say it, he is predicated on the run. But then you have a new defensive coordinator after Randall McCray got hired away to join the Arizona Cardinals. Congrats to Coach McCray. You got Chris Woods, who was a defensive specialist not listed as a coach on the roster out at Oklahoma. But he played under two great coaches, Bob Stoops, Lincoln Riley, and why'd I say play? He coached under two great coaches. Meanwhile, Withers mainly picked him because of his knowledge of the game, not so much the technical aspects or the fundamentals. And I think that is going to be a big-time thing as opposed to just having a guy that comes in from a big program you expect him to produce because, well, he was from a big program. Fits the scheme of what Withers is trying to implement. Meanwhile, you got Brett Elliott coming back after a year away from Texas State. He used to be the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator in 2016. He was the quarterback's coach at Mississippi State. He comes back here in that same role. And so that's one place I'm really excited for. So, guys, are these injuries to all these players a positive or a negative in your mind?
I think it could be both. You know, I think that it's good for the other kids or the other players to be able to have a chance to step up and to get more practice and playing. But it's also never a good thing to have that many players injured in the spring because they need to. That's when they actually need to start working on the things they need to work on.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of a toss-up. You definitely get to assess your other talents on your team when, you know, you have your starters out hurt. But also it could be a setback for the starters because when they come back, will they adjust to the scheme? Will they adjust to the way the plays are called? And who knows? You always get that controversy when a backup or somebody comes out and they're actually turned out to be better than the starter. Then you always get that controversy in the team. So, you know, it has its pluses and its minuses, but I think this is really good for the new players or the 88 players coming in because they get to show full strength and show their coach that, hey, I deserve to be here and I believe that I can start for this team. So I think it'd be a plus.
Meanwhile, one last question before we go into this break. Of course, the staff changes for this team. It's kind of been a toss-up every year. Coach Withers has been here. Guys move around, same positions, or just get to do different things. Which new change are you most excited about on this coaching staff?
I think Coach Elliott has the chance to make the biggest impact on this team just for being the quarterback's coach because I think that's something that the team definitely need to work on was the quarterbacks.
I'm excited about Chris Woods as the new defensive coordinator. It's not because he came from a big program like Oklahoma. It's just the fact that he has some experience and he fits what the coach is looking for, what Coach Withers' system is. So I'm definitely excited to see that. And because Texas State normally doesn't score a lot of points, but I think if their defense can prove to hold teams to around 21 points, then Texas State is always in the game at that point. So I'm very excited to see what Chris Woods can do with their defense.
Naturally, I'm excited about both those guys at the position, but if I had to rank, I'm going Brett Elliott simply because he spent a year at a big SEC school refining his craft after being the quarterback's coach here. And whether you like it or not, Tyler Jones was the last good quarterback this school had. and they're trying to get back to that same mold of a guy that can run around and throw. But anyways, we've come up on the 10 break here, and when we come back, we're going to have Bobcat Baseball Associate Head Coach Stephen Trout call into the show. Don't go anywhere. This is Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
Well, this museum is really interesting, but I feel like there's something missing. I feel like this history museum doesn't have enough information on African Americans.
Well, we can head over to the Calaboose African American History Museum if you want. They'll have exactly what you're looking for.
The Calaboose?
It has lots of entertaining and educational exhibits, artifacts, and lectures all about the history and culture of African Americans in San Marcos. It's at the corner of Martin Luther King Drive and South Fredericksburg Street. Let's head over there later.
Get educated with the Calaboose African American History Museum. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Hey, what were you jamming out to?
Oh, it's one of these bands I heard at KTSW's Lunchbox Concert Series.
Lunchbox Concert Series? What's that?
Dude, it's a lunchtime concert hosted by KTSW in the LBJ Amphitheater every first Thursday of the month. You should totally check it out. There are pizza and prizes there, too. Look it up on Facebook at KTSW89.9.
That sounds groovy. I'm there.
Welcome back to Bobcat Radio. As we've gone over some Texas State football spring ball here, now joining us to talk a little baseball is the associate head coach and hitting specialist extraordinaire of the baseball team, Coach Steve Trout. How you doing there, Coach?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Yeah, we're doing phenomenal. We're a little sad, of course. Y'all's 11-game unbeaten streak was ended last night out at UTSA. And I guess Ashton here wants to start things off with her first question.
Hey, Coach, thanks for being here. My question is, what do you think that the team struggled with most during the UTSA game yesterday?
You know, we got off to a bad start. You know, we threw a couple bowls away and didn't play well defensively. And you know, offensively, I thought they threw the ball pretty well. I thought we hit some balls hard early that didn't pay off for us. And you know, just later in the game, we had big opportunities. We had bases loaded twice. And hit the ball to the shortstop a couple times. Luckily, he booted one of them. But you know, we just didn't capitalize in our opportunities. And so, hopefully, I'm really excited to get back out there tonight and hopefully put another dub on the scoreboard.
And do you think that the team got psyched out a little bit by giving up so many runs at the beginning?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's part of it. Now, it's one of the first times this year we started playing from behind. But this group has done that before, in the past. I think it was a little shock just because we filmed the ball so well this year. And so I was kind of excited to watch our guys try to battle from behind. And we did. Like I said, we just didn't come up with that big hit.
Hello, Coach Trout. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's Jordan. My question for you is, what is something that you want the team to improve on or that you and your staff have seen despite, you know, your flurries of wins?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, from an offensive perspective, our biggest thing is just being more consistent with our approach. You know, we watch a lot of video, and when you get to this part in the season, a lot of the mechanical things really don't change a whole lot unless the guy's just going really bad. And so majority of it is trying to figure out how our team's attacking us. How are they getting us out? And, you know, what's kind of our hot spots right now? And so I talked to the team last night about trying to identify that. You know, we're 19 games in, and so we've got an idea how teams are trying to get us out. Now we got to find a way to make those weaknesses or understand that and make that a strength. And the more you can do that, that's the game of baseball. Scouting reports get out on you. Video gets out on you. So being able to adjust in the box from more of a mental aspect more than a physical aspect is really where we got to continue to improve, and in about 20 more games we got to continue to adjust because all of a sudden they'll start adjusting again. So it's a go around all throughout the season.
All right, well, from last night's game here, Coach, you send Brandon Lewis out on the mound. He's been a little inconsistent for a good 2 years now, and what are the game plan going forward with Brandon Lewis, since it doesn't seem like he's clicking as well as the other pitchers you have on the staff, and how to use him?
Yeah, well, you know, Brandon Lewis has big time stuff. You watch that guy, you know, throw a bullpen, throw an inner squads. He's got probably some of the best stuff on the team. And so I think it's one of those things you got to continue to find ways to to get him innings. And between Coach Harrington and Coach Massengill, I think they'll come up with a great plan to continue to try to make improvements for Brendan. And so I know they moved his arm slot a little bit a couple weeks ago, so that was kind of – everyone was so excited to see him throw last night. And so it's definitely not the last you'll see of Brendan Lewis. I know they'll go back to work and put their head down. And for us to be good, we need Brendan Lewis to be good.
And how do you expect the team to bounce back after this loss, not only for tonight but for the future games?
Yeah, and I think the beauty of baseball is, you know, we play a lot of games. And so I don't think I could be a football coach where I play on Saturday and have to wait 6 or 7 more days before, you know, we get to play again. And so luckily the loss came right after right after the loss, we get to play again tonight. And so I'm excited. I didn't sleep very well last night, and so I'll be excited to show up to the ballpark and see our guys get after it.
Hey, Coach. My question is, do you think we've seen the best of Texas State's baseball team? Because to be honest with you, I would love another 11-game winning streak because I'm loving what I'm seeing out of this team.
I can promise you, like I said, I sleep better when we win at night. So either way it comes. But, no, I don't. You know, I think we have pitched the baseball extremely well. I don't know if we can keep doing what we're doing on the mound because the numbers we're throwing up right now are ridiculous, and that's why we're winning baseball games, along with how good of defense we played. Our infield is as good as it come, and we've played some really good, made some really good plays in the outfield. I think what's lagging right now is offensively, like I said, we're not as consistent. We'll show up on a Friday night and be really good, and then Saturday and Sunday, it's kind of a struggle. And, you know, usually through an offense, not everybody's going to click at the same time, but when you get 3 or 4 guys clicking, it can be really, really fun to watch. And these guys have done it before. So, I think if we continue to throw the ball at the rapid pace we are and play really good defense, the offense can come along. And I think when guys continue to get hot, and continue to make improvements, I think that's when our best baseball is come to play. And so, like I said, we've been winning games because our pitching and defense has been really, really good, which is the name of the game.
Meanwhile, looking at two guys on the offensive end that have been lighting it up, outside of the 0-6 performance combined last night, Luke Shirley and Derek Scheibel have been fantastic for you guys. So just getting to work with two guys that have been in this system for a long time and to see their improvement each coming year, how happy are you to see those guys getting all these numbers right now and helping your team win?
Yeah, I mean, all you want to do as a coach is see your kids succeed. And so those guys have been through the battles. They've had, you know, pretty good years. Obviously, Luke starting as a freshman, to see his continued success, a little bit better every year. And then, of course, Scheibel as well. He's putting on a show right now with his home runs, and it's been fun to watch. And so, no, it's exciting for the kids, and that's what I'm excited for. I tell these guys every day is my job as a coach, it's not for myself. It's for those guys to have success. It's for those guys to go play in a regional one day. It's for those guys to play in the postseason and then hopefully go play pro ball. And so just to be along the ride with those guys, it's awesome to be a part of.
Now, Coach, I'm looking at Jonathan Ortega. I was one of your best hitters last year. And, you know, he's starting to pick up the pace a little bit but kind of got off to a slow start. Is there anybody else on the offensive side that you're waiting for to peak or, you know, hit their stride yet?
Yeah, you know, J.O. had a really good night last night, had a couple hits and starting to square the ball up more and starting to look like the old J.O. You know, the other guy who we're all waiting for is Ryan Newman. And I can tell you it's not because he's not working and he's not putting the effort in. It's going to come. You know, guys, when guys sit in the middle of the order for their first couple of years, they pitch you differently. And especially being the only lefty in our lineup for the most part, you know, he gets pitched differently and they don't want that guy to beat him. And when that happens, you lose confidence sometimes. And so Ryan's battling right now, probably more mentally than physically. And he took – the thing about it is he's taken some good swings over the last couple of weeks. We've actually – he's hit some balls on the days when the wind were blowing. And he hit a ball last night, actually, oppo, that on any other night at UTSA, that ball's an oppo home run. And so he's taken some good swings. And so I really feel like his swings are going to come when we really need them. And he's one of those guys, I think, when he gets hot, he's pretty unconscious. And so I'm excited to see him move forward.
And a perfect segue right there, moving forward to tonight's game versus another San Antonio squad in Incarnate Word. What are some things on the scouting report that will make you prep for the game, and what are you going to be looking to do with tonight against Incarnate Word to slow them down?
Yeah, no, they're obviously they got a new staff this year, and so they're playing with more energy and getting after it and having success. They're pitching it pretty well and swinging it pretty well. So it's definitely going to be a battle tonight. And so I know those guys are ready to go themselves. And so for us, I think, like I told the hitters last night, it's about getting back more to what we do. And don't let the pitcher dictate that bat. Let us dictate that bat and what we swing at. When we're punishing mistakes, we're really good. When we're swinging at bad pitches, we're a very average offense. And so I'm excited to get back out there and kind of get back to the basics and get back to being simple again and get the winning streak started again.
Meanwhile, on a more personal note, you got a lot of background and history with pitching coach Chad Massengill. Of course, he used to be one of your coaches way back in the day. So to see him come back here and do as great a job as he has been with his pitching staff, just how does it make you feel seeing one of your old coaches and now colleagues succeed so well in his new position?
Oh, it's awesome. It's been it was a hard fall for Chad from the fact that, you know, his family was still back home and he was kind of here by himself, and so it was a weird fall for him. But yeah, knowing Chad for a long time, it's been really fun to watch him come in and you know, get our kids better, and it's been awesome to see him and his family moved to the San Marcos area, and I'm really excited for him and excited for the future of our pitching staff to get to grow under him, and we're super excited to have him.
All right, Coach. Well, before we let you go, you got any last things you want to say to the lucky listeners tuning in right now?
No, we're just excited tonight. Hopefully we'll go play well tonight and then head out to Coastal Carolina. We've got an early flight tomorrow, and hopefully we can go win a series on the road, which would be a big deal, and then see you back at the ballpark Tuesday when the Longhorns come to town.
All right, Coach. Well, safe travels and best of luck.
All right. Appreciate it.
No problem. That was Bobcat Associate Head Coach and Hitting Instructor Steve Trout calling in. And, wow, giving us a great insight into what is making this team look so well right now. I mean, guys, what are your takeaways from what he said?
I'm definitely, from what I take away what he said, I'm definitely excited to see Ryan Newman definitely to show up because the way Coach talked about him, it sounds like he's getting his good swings in. We're just waiting for it to just happen on the field. And I'm excited to see that because it sounds like when he's on, the whole team is on fire.
And he made it seem like he was pretty confident about tonight, and that made it feel better for the fans that are going to be watching. Because if the coach is confident about what's happening tonight, then it just makes everything else better. So I think the baseball team will be able to get that winning streak started back up.
Meanwhile, just taking a look back now that we can put in our 2 cents from last night's game versus UTSA, a bit of a struggle. 2 games now this season, the Bobcats have faced the Roadrunners in both games. They hit less than 200 in. And we see here last night, J.O. and Dylan Paul get 4 out of the team's 5 hits. Jonathan Ortega playing at the top of the lineup, he only saw 5 pitches all game, and he's been really, really aggressive at the plate. I mean, there's such a thing as looking for the first good pitch, but there's waiting for the right pitch. What are your takeaways from how J.O., should he slow down or should he keep up this aggressive pace?
For right now, I think he should keep up the aggressive pace, partly because his average is so low, and I think he tried the patience game, and it didn't work out so well for him. So I think he's trying to adjust and trying to see if something else works for him right now. And, you know, lately he's been, you know, hitting about 500 in these last 3 or 4 games. So right now, stay with the aggressive pitch. If you see it, hit it. But slow down if, you know, you start striking out a lot. But for right now, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think you need to go in aggressive, and then if it starts backfiring on you, then slow down. But I think right now he's doing exactly what he needs to be doing.
Meanwhile, now moving forward to the Incarnate Word game that's going to be going on tonight. In fact, Jordan's going to be producing that game here in KTSW, and I'm going to be calling it out with Brant, so that's going to be a little scary.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, Ashton, if you want to fill a role, go out to the ballpark, man. It's going to be a blast. Looking ahead at this Incarnate Word lineup, just what players are standing out to you guys right now?
To be honest, Incarnate Word, I'm just looking at their lineup, and they're a decent team. For me, I'm just excited to see what will they show, you know, for the game, because the pitching staff is decent, their hitting is decent, but I really just want to see what type of team shows up against Texas State, because mm-hmm. Texas State is on fire, and when most teams come in, see a team on a winning streak or won a lot of games in the last few games, a lot of teams try to change their style or try to adapt to a team that's that hot. So I'm definitely excited to see what Incarnate Word tries to pull out their bag to, you know, try to mix up Texas State.
As of right now, I think they're pretty inconsistent, the Ward Cardinals. I think they're pretty inconsistent. Whenever they went, they had a series against Northern Illinois, and they won the first game 17-0, and then they lost 115, and then they won 7-5. So that's just very inconsistent. So it just depends on, like what Jordan said, it just depends on what team shows up.
Meanwhile, the importance of this game lies in more than just what happens tonight. It helps set up the Bobcats to go out and take on number 27-ranked Coastal Carolina, who last year the Bobcats, out of all the Sun Belt teams they could have performed well against, they had to do it against what was a then-defending national champion Chanticleer's team in their first season as a Sun Belt squad, winning 3 out of the 4 times they played and eliminating the Chanticleers and ending their run as the defending champs in the Sun Belt Conference quarterfinals. So we can expect that Coastal Carolina, if they remember very well what happened last year, they're going to be playing with a vendetta and a chance to try and get back at the Bobcats, who are now up there at the top of the Sun Belt currently after just this one weekend set. Both these teams lead in the East and the West of the SBC. So, can we expect a heavyweight prize fight, and how can Texas State bring their best punches?
Well, Texas State, the disadvantage they're at when they eventually face Coastal Carolina is they're not home. Texas State at home is 11-3. They pretty much do not lose here.
They play a lot of home games.
Yeah, they play a lot of home games. So this is the kind of disadvantage for them. But Texas State, their pitching and their defense, like Coach explained, is doing really good off the charts right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can keep that up, Coastal Carolina, this game will be a heavyweight match, and it will be a close game. But I think they can hang. This Texas State team is ranked, you know, number 30. So I think, you know, they're a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they beat Coastal Carolina when their pitching wasn't great, and now the pitching has improved so much, I just think that Coastal Carolina should, you know, watch out.
Yeah, looking forward at it, giving you some stats for Coastal. Texas State currently is second in the Sun Belt in batting average, but it's a distant second. Coastal Carolina is number one with a .301 average. And some of their best hitters, Zach Bierman, what a nice name, 22 games he's played in, 20 starts, 80 at-bats to be third on the team here, but he's got a .638 slugging percentage. In fact, this whole team combined, .502. So these guys can hit for power, despite, oh my goodness, they got 30 home runs. Texas State's got 18, and Incarnate Word tonight, only 5. So you take that into account. We're going up against a very high-powered offense here.
Yes, definitely whoever's pitching, play it safe. Whatever they call, play it, you know. Even though Coastal Carolina is a hard-hitting team right now and they're doing really well, if you can keep the home runs down and you just limit them in their production and, you know, don't force anything, you just play your game. Texas State, the reason why they're on that winning streak is because they're playing their game. They're playing what they're good at and they're doing it well, and I think if they continue that pace, then it's not an issue. I mean, they're only 3 spots away from Coastal Carolina in terms of ranking, so you know, clearly whoever's given the rankings, I don't think Coastal Carolina is that big of a dog either.
And I think if Texas State just comes out hard at the beginning, I think Coastal Carolina will get a little frustrated, and they're not gonna they're gonna get discouraged. So I think that if they just start off really strong, they can keep it up for the rest of the game.
Yeah, because again, Texas State, a stat and a line that I didn't think I'd be reading this season: best pitching staff in the Sun Belt in ERA and opponent batting average. Whereas you look at Coastal Carolina, their best weapon is Jason Bylus, who leads the staff with a 2.51 ERA among starters, a 3-0 record. He's got 34 strikeouts and 22 walks, and opponents are just batting .183 off him. The rest of the staff, not so much. The next closest guy, of course, the leader on the staff is a reliever who has a 2-0 record and has appeared in 6 games so far. .69 ERA, number 37, Patrick Orlando. So they got a few weapons in the starting lineup and out of the bullpen, so you can expect that Bylus is probably going to be that Friday night starter against Nicholas Frays.
Well, one thing I want to say about the ace, though, I noticed the walks, 22 walks. I think one thing to get most pitchers off their game is if you can get people on base. And if he's walking a lot of people, if Texas State can find a way to get walks and get on base, that can flurry the pitcher a little bit. And all you need is one hit if you get somebody on base, and they can get around the base pads and like that. So, you know, definitely something to watch out for.
Yeah, you look at last night, Bobcats gave up 3 errors to UTSA, and most of the time those errors came back to bite them by giving in a few of those seven runs. I mean, one guy had two stolen bases en route to scoring a run in the fifth inning, and that was left fielder Trent Bowles. So it was just classic mistakes you're not used to seeing from the Bobcats that I think they're going to clean up very well. But now we pushed up to the 30 break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into the final array of questions I had ready for my two co-hosts for Texas State Spring Football, and then we're going to dive into some Texas State Softball. Don't go anywhere. This is Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos.
Did you know that approximately 40.6% of Texas State students face food insecurity? Well, Bobcat Bounty is launching its first ever student-run food pantry on campus. Bobcat Bounty serves anyone who has a valid Texas State ID. It's open every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. Be sure to check it out in room 187 in the Family Consumer Science Building across from the Rec Center. Are you interested in volunteering and helping them out? Contact them at bobcatbounty@texasstate.edu. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio. I'm discovering all these new rolas on 89.9.
What are rolas?
Well, it's Spanish slang for songs, but it's also an awesome Spanish rock show that's on KTSW.
No way. I didn't know KTSW played songs in other languages.
Yeah, rolas features music from any Spanish-speaking country, including Mexico, Spain, Venezuela, Colombia, and more.
Spanish isn't even my first language, but I think I could get into it.
Most deaf, so be sure to roll through and listen to Rolas, hosted by Louis G. from 10 to midnight every Wednesday right here on KTSW.
I'm Brian London with Texas State Football. You're listening to Wildcat Radio, KTSW.
Man, I'm so glad we got to use that liner there. Because some of them are a little iffy, but I'm glad we got to hear from one of the captains last year for the Bobcats coming back. He'll be soon to be junior and two-time Sunbelt honorable mention, which I think is a little below what Brian London means to the football team. But getting back to the football team, before we got to talk with Associate Head Coach of Baseball, Stephen Trout, we were talking some spring football stuff, and one thing that Coach Withers has brought up consistently since spring started is now, for the first time since he's been here, they can go over situational plays and how to execute in certain situations, whereas the last couple of years, it's been more about getting all the little things together and acting like a team, because he knew this team wasn't going to be ready to compete just yet. But now he can start to plan for it. So guys, we saw some situations last year where the Bobcats weren't exactly at their sharpest. Which ones do you think they're going to be focused on refining?
I think that they've been trying to do trick plays, and trick plays aren't something they need to focus on. But hope maybe they can execute those a little better this time, because they've tried to do a bunch lately and it hasn't really worked out in their favor. So hopefully they can get those cleaned up and get them together so that whenever they need to use them, they can.
My underlining issue for this Texas State team that I want them to change is special teams field position. I felt a lot last year. A lot of teams scored a lot of points on them because Texas State struggled to get past midfield, and when they punt and give it to the other team, the team starts at the 30-yard line, the 40-yard line, almost near midfield. And to be honest with you, they didn't have to work as hard to score. You know, they easily find 20 yards and they're in field goal position. And I think that's one thing they need to work on is field position, because field position wins games. It wins battles. And if you're giving teams a start at the 30 almost every possession, they're going to score. They're going to score a lot of points.
And I think also two-point conversions is something that Texas State also needed to work on. They could never, for some reason, that wasn't one of their strong suits. So I think that as well, hopefully they'll be able to work on that too.
Meanwhile, of course, we've mentioned it a couple times, getting back to baseball, Texas State was ranked number 30th before they started this UTSA game, and I expect with this loss they might be kicked back out. But I just want to get an opinion from you guys. How high do you think the ceiling is for this team in terms of where they can finish in final rankings with the way they're playing most of the time?
To be honest with you, I think with the team they have now, they're clicking on all cylinders. They're really hot. If they can find a way to continue this, the ceiling, there is no ceiling for them. I think they can reach the top. Now, most likely no, because of strength of schedule and, you know, a whole bunch of other factors. But can they finish, I think, top 20? Yes. Mm. Yes, they can.
Well, that's going to be feeling good. What about you, Ashton?
Yeah, I think they've been doing really well, and I also think that they have the potential to make the top 20. I really do. They've just improved so much. They've been doing great so far, and it's not even actual conference yet. So I think they have the chance to do that.
Yeah, they looked really good, of course, in their opening conference set versus App State. And now they get their first true test of the season coming up after this Incarnate Word game tonight, going out to Conway to take on Coastal Carolina, who is a top 30 team still, number 27 in the nation, and of course just 2 years removed from a national championship. So you always got to keep an eye out for those guys. And if Texas State can somehow win that series and be competitive and blow out Coastal Carolina in just one of those games, I'll know that this Bobcat team is for real.
You can say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited for those. I'm excited for that series just to see what Texas State can actually do. I think that's a real test to see what they can do.
Meanwhile, tonight, we still don't have just baseball going on here at Texas State. We've also got some softball that's going to be happening right up the road in Austin, as Texas State is going to be journeying to take on the Texas Longhorns up there in the great capital of the state of Texas. And, of course, last year, Texas State, for the Bobcats, this is going to be the first time these two teams have played each other since the Longhorns ended the Bobcats season in the NCAA College Station Regional. But ignore that one loss, and Texas State is going up there to try and get their fourth win over what's been a middle-of-the-road UT team, but still a Big 12 team nonetheless, in the last 2 years. So what are some notes you have for how they can get that fourth win tonight?
Pitching? I have noticed that when Randy Rupp is pitching, like, even when she gives up a couple of hits, she always finds a way to make sure they don't score or they don't get a run in. And I've been watching the softball team this past week, and one thing I noticed is even in close games, they don't seem to, you know, wield under pressure. They seem to be a very consistent team, and they want to dictate their pace and how they play. And one thing I love seeing about them, they know how to rally at the end of the game. So as long as the game is close, I'm not concerned about this team. I know they can pull it off.
Yes, I think another thing is that I said this about the women's basketball team as well. They don't play down to who they're playing. If their team is playing bad, they don't play to that level. They play to their level, and they stick to that.
What do you attribute to it most, the experience that all these players have had with success in this program, or the fact that these players are just experienced in general?
I think just experienced in general. I think they all click really well. And the catching position being moved, I think that Randy Rupp has dealt with that very well. I just think that the whole experience for the team and the chemistry that they all have together, I just think it all blends in together and it works very well.
I think they have adjusted as a team for the lineup, for pitching, move to catcher. You know, a lot of good things have happened and they have adjusted very well to it, and it's now working out for them, and the players see that. And when the players see that and they already have some experience behind them, it definitely catapults them to another level of what they can show on the field.
Now, taking back to what happened yesterday, Sun Belt committee came out and said Randy Rupp, pitcher of the week, again, second time this season. I haven't kept track of how many times she's probably won it in her storied career. I mean, she's been the pitcher of the year in the preseason and in the regular season, I believe, these last 3 years. So, yeah, you can expect her to win awards when last week the Bobcats go a perfect 4-0. She wins three of those games, saves the other one, strikes out 28 batters in two games with over 10 strikeouts, which she's the all-time leader, and she's the leader in the NCAA. She's the best strikeout pitcher in the nation is Randy Rupp. And, of course, her second perfect game.
Yeah, for me, I just want to make an announcement. Just give her the award, please. There's no competition. Just give it to her. She already won it.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, LeBron James or Greg Popovich every year. You know they're the best player or the best coach, but you can't give them the award every single year.
They might have to give it to her again this year because it ain't no stopping her. I went to a softball game, and she had 12 strikeouts, and they literally ran out of K's to give. They had to draw a K, a black K, on the little board and put it up. That's how many strikeouts she got, and that's how good she is.
Mm-hmm. And then you include now two seasons now. That first win last week came over a top 15 Baylor Bear team, which I got to call the game where they got their first staple win over a ranked team last year, and it was Baylor, who was 12th in the nation. Randy Rupp pitched a complete game. They walk it off on an RBI ground out, 1-0. And Randy Rupp finally has that signature game, because otherwise, you see a couple of stat lines for her against other highly ranked teams like Texas A&M this year, and going back to Auburn just a couple seasons ago, like last year, and she doesn't do very well when it comes to high-rise competition. But now, facing this Longhorns team, which she's had so much success against, and really Texas State and UT, those are two model schools for women's sports. I mean, the Bobcats are trying to be what the Longhorns are in basketball, in softball most years, and right now, Coach Ricky Woodard has the advantage.
Yeah, it's definitely incredible to look at. especially from the women's program in Texas State, because they are advancing on, they're advancing pretty fast in levels that, you know, that most schools take years to do. They're doing it in like a couple of year span, so it's exciting to watch.
I think that I don't think that UT is going to be a problem for Texas State, honestly. I think that they'll be able to pull it off just because of the record for UT. They're 12-13, Texas State's 22-7. So I just think that they're going to be good. They're going to be fine. I'm not too worried about it.
Meanwhile, the Bobcats currently are on an 8-game winning streak they're looking to add on to and make 9 tonight versus the Longhorns, of which, again, they're going for their 4th win over UT in the last 2 seasons. And you said it, 12-13 is Texas. In fact, they're just 6-8 at home. So home field advantage apparently not paying off for the Longhorns here. And let's take a look at some big numbers. Why? Of course, their best hitter, who's played in every single game so far, Janae Jefferson, 312 average, 77 at-bats to lead the team. Meanwhile, she's got 24 hits, another high, 9 RBIs driven in. But looking at this collective team overall, another big number you can find disparity in for Texas State is home runs. UT has only hit 8. Our best hitter, Haley McKay, by herself, has hit nearly that much. And McKay is the reason, one of the reasons why this Bobcat batting order is cleaning up so well. So I'm sure, Jordan, your takeaways from the fact that now we've got the pitching, Texas State's also got the hitting, and, as always, the defense.
Yeah, they're putting it all together, and when a team figures out how to put everything together on offense, defense, and pitching, ooh, it's a scary team. That is a scary team. So, you know, Texas, I just think it's a really off year. It's not their year, but it is Texas State's year, so we're going to leave it at that.
Yeah, leave it at that. Right now, the Bobcats doing everything they can to own the Sun Belt, and right now, they're buying every single team win after win after win after win. They're just taking care of business so far. Perfect in Sun Belt Conference play. But looking again at the Longhorns, a few of the big notices I have here at the players. They've got around 6 players that are currently playing in most, if not every single game. And collectively, they're not hitting that well. So their main batting order for the Longhorns has been struggling a lot.
Yeah, and when you only have one person that's really producing, it's hard, especially in a sport like baseball. It's hard when one person's doing everything because they can't score every run, they can't get every RBI. It's very hard to do that. So when one person's, you know, carrying the weight, most times that team is very subpar or not a good team at all.
And UT only has 3 seniors right now. So like Jordan said, I just don't think it's their year right now. I just don't think they have the experience to be a good team or a good team as they were last year. So I just think that Texas State has the advantage over that as well.
Meanwhile, looking at the numbers pitching-wise for the Longhorns, this could be the place where they could get Texas State if they really put together a good game plan. Collectively, as a staff, 2.99 ERA. You've got two pitchers that are currently throwing for an ERA below 3, of which the very best of it is Paige Von Sprecken. I love saying that name. 1.98 ERA, 4-5 record. So 6 complete games. She's started in 8 of them to lead the squad. And 63 2/3 innings, she's only given up 47 hits and 18 runs, and she still somehow ends up with 5 losses?
Well, when it sounds like a team that is struggling to score.
Yeah.
When a pitcher has an ERA of 1.89, that means they're getting a little bit less than 2 runs a game. That means the Longhorns aren't scoring 2 or 3 runs to even consider giving her wins, because 4-5 record is a game under 500. But if your ERA is that low, then your team is not scoring. They're not producing for you. So a lot of those wins and losses for her are almost for nothing because her team's not producing. They're not giving her help.
Yeah, building it forward here. You look at it, collectively, there is not a single member of this Longhorns hitting order that has 10 RBIs. The most anyone has is 9 RBIs tied with 2. It's Paige Von Sprecken, the star pitcher. And then, of course, Jana Jefferson. Whereas you look at the Bobcats, we've got Haley McKay with 22. We've got Bailey Carter with 12. We've got Ariel Ortiz with 24. We got Haley Davis with 10. And then you have Tara Oldman, the starting second baseman, with 20.
That's over half your lineup that's clicking. I mean, that's that's
take
hard to
pick.
Beat. Yeah. Pick
yeah,
your poison, as they
that's
say.
What I was saying about the chemistry. Like, I just think they work so well together. They all know what they need to do, and they do it. They don't have any hesitations about what they know they have to do. And I just think this team has done so well this season. It's not even over.
No, and it looks like it's going to be riding out very well for the Bobcats. And most of the teams that are playing right now, baseball, softball, are really clicking for the most part. Of course, then you have Texas State football starting back up, getting everyone in shape in order, because Coach Withers said that the spring practices are mainly just to get people ready for hard practices come fall and get them set with a game plan while getting everyone underway. He's really excited about the recruits that are coming in June. I can imagine how his son is going to be when he graduates from Bowie High School right up the road. So that's going to be a fun matchup. And I guess what we can do here is, now that we've talked as much as we can about everything Texas State, why not get in some national news? So, guys, how soon was it before your brackets were broken?
My bracket broke, I want to say, the first or second day, especially when Virginia lost. When a lot of it's the Cinderella year type of thing, and if your bracket was picked for big teams, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's been busted. So
yeah, I think that too. It just it there's the sorry, I need to gather my words and then I can talk.
Just breathe.
When there's so many teams so far that were not picked to lose, it's just so hard for everyone to make brackets that are actually reliable.
Yeah, currently looking at who's left, you've got number 9 ranked Kansas State after they, of course, beat UMBC, the Cinderella team of the century, of which people are saying this could go down as one of the, arguably, the biggest college basketball ever, which I don't agree with. I can understand why, because apparently back in the day, Virginia lost to an NAIA school called Chaminade.
Virginia, to me, has never been a very good tournament team. During the regular season, oh, yeah, they're one of the best teams to play. You know, they only lose about 4 to 7 games a year. But when it comes to the tournament time, they always struggle. Even when they were number ones, beating 16 teams, they always struggled against them. And then when they got to the Sweet 16, that was the end of their season, pretty much.
To make a very vague comparison, that sounds a lot like Mike D'Antoni, you know. He's trying to change the narrative this year with Houston, and I think this is the best team he's ever had. But you remember those Phoenix days, they were always killer, 7 seconds or less offense, and then boom, when it comes to the playoffs, they just can't handle.
Yeah.
So moving forward, currently the teams that are remaining that people are giving a fair shot to win it all, Gonzaga is still involved in this tournament, Michigan, after the incredible 3 to beat Houston, of which heartbreak for Parker since his hometown college team was eliminated on a long 3 by a freshman.
Lucky shot.
Yeah, lucky shot. And then Texas A&M, kind of the surprise good team of the tournament, 7 seed, they whopped the defending champs 86-65.
That's funny because last year I picked Texas A&M to go to the Elite Eight and possibly the Final Four last year because I thought last year they had a really good team to do it. And then this year I don't pick them to go that far and then they decide, oh, yeah, I want to win this year. So that sucks.
Yeah. And then, well, my pick to win it all is still in the tournament, luckily. In fact, you look at it, they are one of only 2 number 1 seeds remaining in the tournament. Out of the East Division, it is Villanova, who is just 2 years removed from that incredible buzzer-beating 3 by Jenkins to beat the University of North Carolina and win a national championship. They're going to be going up against 5th seed West Virginia out in the East. And, of course, we know the Final Four this year is in San Antonio, so it's going to be right down the road. We're going to have a lot of traffic flowing through the city. Meanwhile, you got Kansas that's still in it. The only other number 1 seed remaining, you got Duke, who so far is having a pretty easy ride. They beat Iona, and then they beat the University of Rhode Island. Now they play Syracuse, which has been a bit of a surprise, beating Michigan State, a team that I thought could make a run to the Final Four, and is now going to be dealing with questions about whether Tom Izzo is going to be run out of Michigan State.
No, I don't think so. He's too consistent.
Yeah, and of course, despite all the drama surrounding it, he said it, I've taken too many bullets this year to not be here. So he feels like there's no blame on his end. He didn't know anything that was going on, apparently, and I think that's going to read out very well. But, Ashton, I know you're not the biggest basketball fan, but if you had to make sense of what's going on right now in the NCAA tournament, what are your thoughts on it?
I think right now I'm going to go for either Duke or Kansas just because I just think that they've been doing so well and they're always up there. They're always up there for basketball. So those two are going to be my picks right now. For the rest of them, I really have no idea.
Well, to keep giving you a breakdown, again, Gonzaga is going to be playing Florida State, another low seed that's still making runs to the Sweet 16, currently Florida State 9th out in the Western Division. Of course, you still have Texas Tech involved, the 3 seed coming off of a win over Florida and the Gators. They'll be playing 2nd seed Purdue, and it was interesting the other day. I saw on Facebook that Danny Casper has three different assistant coaches that are currently on a team still running in the NCAA tournament right now, with the biggest one being Chris Beard, a former grad assistant back in Incarnate Word as the head coach at Texas Tech. So, Coach Casper is breeding greatness among these staffs, and I feel very proud. But my answer is, why is it that he can't get to this tournament? I want him to get to this tournament. Dang it, I want the Master to get there.
I don't know. I just think right now his predecessors, they're just going to, I guess, better programs, or I guess better talent, I guess, per se, or you know, they're able to recruit a little bit better, so they're finding their way in the tournament. And then for Texas State, you know, they're a rebuilding team. I mean, last year they showed a glimpse. I mean, this year, I mean, they showed a glimpse of how good they can be, and then they showed how bad they can be at the same time. So, you know, it's just a learning curve, and hopefully by next year, they, now that their team is, you know, getting faster and, you know, they get a little bit more experience, they can actually, you know, show what they're really made of.
All right, guys. Well, we're at the 50 break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this show for the final 10 minutes. This is Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos.
Support for KTSW comes from Buzzmo Frontier Diner, presenting Curtis Clogston and Friends Bluegrass Night every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Buzzmo Frontier Diner, 194 South Guadalupe Street, and on Facebook and Twitter at Buzzmo San Marcos.
You are never alone here at Texas State. If you have personal concerns, no matter how small you think they might be, the Counseling Center offers a variety of different ways to participate with groups of people who understand what you are going through and offer a safe space for you to speak without fear of judgment. These groups include diffusing stress, healing through art, moving through grief, and many more. If you would like more information, visit the Counseling Center website. This has been a message from KTSW, the other side of radio.